Aham Shri Guru Shri Atah Parakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shri This morning I spoke on the first verse of Sri Damodara Ashtakam. I'll continue now speaking on the second verse. Before that, I'll read the verses, all the verses of Damodara Ashtakam, as we unfortunately came too late to sing it. Namamishvaram Satyidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhrajamanam Yashoda Bhyo Lokaladhavamanam Paramrishtam Atyantato Drutya Gopya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Lord whose form is composed of eternity, knowledge and bliss, whose earrings swing and play upon his cheeks, who is splendorously manifest in Gokul, who is very fearful of Mother Yashoda and jumping down from the wooden grinding mortar quickly runs away, who is chased by Yashoda running very quickly after him and is ultimately caught from behind. Rudantang muhur netra yugmang rijantam karam bhoja yugmena satanka netram muhush vasa kampachire khanka kantha stitha graivam damodarang bhakti badham. Seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand, he is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes are filled with fear, and the necklace of pearls around his neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell, his neck is marked with three lines like a conch shell, not the necklace, is shaking because... No, that's a mistranslation. Let's read this. What translation is given here? Yeah, the necklaces upon his neck shake, whose belly is bound only by his mother's devotion. Under this Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. It's text two. Text 3. Iti drik swalila bhir ananda kunde swaghosham nimajantam akapayantam. Tadiyeshita gnyeshu bhaktayajitadvang punah prematas tang shatavriti vande. In this way, who perpetually drowns the residents of Gokul in pools of pure bliss, who informs those devotees desirous of knowing his supreme opulence and majesty that he is naturally conquered only by his loving devotees. I again offer my obeisances with love unto that Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. Yeah. Then takes 4. Varang deva mokshang na moksha vadhing va na chanyang virneham varesha dapihang Idang teva purnata gopala balang sadame manasyavirastam kimanyai. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for the boon of impersonal liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours as Bal Gopal in Vrindavan may ever be manifest in my heart. For what use to me of any other boon? What is the use to me of any other boon besides this? Idam te mokham bhojam atyanta nilair vritang kuntalai snigdha raktaischa gopya muhushchum bitang bimba rakta dharang me manasya virastam alang lakshalam hai. O Lord, your lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft black hair tinged with red, is kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda, and your lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lotus face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands of other benedictions are of no use to me. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishno Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinang Batanu Krihanesha Mam Agyam Edhyakshi Drishyaha. O Supreme Godhead, I offer my obeisances unto you. O Damodara, O Ananta, O Vishnu, O Master, O my Lord, be pleased upon me. By showering your glance of mercy upon me, deliver this poor ignorant fool who is immersed in an ocean of worldly sorrows and become visible to my eyes. Kuvera atmaja o baddha murdyaiva yadvat Tvayamo chita o bhakti bhajo kritocha Tatha prema bhaktin swakang me prayaccha Namokshe grahomi sti damodareha. O Lord Damodar, just as the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, were delivered from the curse of Narad and made into great devotees by you in your form as a baby, tied with rope to a wooden grinding mortar, in the same way, please give to me your own prema bhakti. I only long for this and have no desire for any kind of liberation. Namaste stu dhamne spura dipti dhamne tvadiyo darayata vishvasya dhamne. Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyayai Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tubhyam. O Lord Damodar, I first of all offer my obeisance to the brilliantly effulgent rope which binds your belly. I then offer my obeisances to your belly, which is the abode of the entire universe. I humbly bow down to your most beloved Srimati Radharani, and I offer all obeisances to you, the Supreme Lord, who displays unlimited pastimes. So the second verse. Rudantang mohur netra yugmam rajantam karam bhoja yugmena satanka netram muhushwasa kampa trire khanka khanta stitha graiva damodarang bhakti badham. This describes Krishna, afraid of this, he sees the stick in his mother's hand, and he knows that that stick, she's come with that stick to beat me. These children are talking and playing in the back. Can they be removed? Let them go and play somewhere else. So he's afraid of the stick in his mother's hand. It makes sense that he's naughty, he knows he's done wrong. His mother is there with the stick with an angry look on her face. So clearly the stick is meant for beating Krishna. This morning, a devotee asked me, does Mother Yashoda actually beat Krishna? We don't find any description of Mother Yashoda actually beating Krishna. She could not beat Krishna. But she had an idea to do so. She eventually tied him up. So Krishna cries. He's caught by Mother Yashoda. He ran away, she caught him. And she has the stick, but Krishna rubs his eyes, plays a pathetic figure. Again and again he rubs his eyes with both of his lotus-like hands. By his eyes he shows great fear. He's very afraid of Mother Yashoda. He sobs again and again. It's quick breathing. And in this way, he's catching his breath and his Trirekanka Kanta, his throat, which is marked with three lines. That means he's very fatty, very healthy looking. So the necklace which is on his neck, that also, because Krishna's panting and sobbing, so the necklace also sways. This is the vision of Satyavrata Muni. And he's Damodar, which means he's tied up. His waist is tied, but he's not tied exactly with ropes. Ropes could not tie him. Is translation going on? Translation is needed? Well, they need translation. Telugu translation for these? It's going on? And for Mataji's? But there's Mataji's here who don't understand, I can see. They're sitting there, not understanding. Hindi, does anyone need Hindi translation? Aapko, Bengali. Bengali. Ami ki Banglai bolbo. No, they're going to look at Bangla. So Hindi they can translate. Jodi yagini keo Bengali ache je Bangla anuvad korte parben yagini duijon Bengali ache je Bangla shunte parben. Nahi to Hindi mein anuvad chalega. Yeah, Jobi Basha Balte, turn off that nasty thing in your pocket. Aapka cell phone, aapka pran se priya cell phone, jara sa band kisi. Oh yeah, fek do. Usse acha ho, fek do. Throw away your cell phone and listen to Krishna. Okay. Ladies, Telugu, Anuvadam. Akara. Is it something like that? Not very good at it. So, we're talking about Krishna, who is bound up, not exactly with ropes, because all the ropes, Mother Yashoda found that all the ropes in the house were not sufficient to bind Krishna. Does that make sense? How big is Krishna's waist? No, it's just a little baby. So it shouldn't take much rope to tie him up. And all the ropes in the house. Remember, this is Nanda Maharaj. He's the king of the cowherders. So he has a big house. And he has many, many cows. And for many, many cows, you need a lot of rope. Right? Cows need tying up at night in the stalls. And then they need to be tied when they're milking. You need a lot of rope. And rope is used for so many purposes. Drawing the water from the well, making some temporary fencing. So there's in a cow herder's house there should be plenty of rope. But all the rope in the house was not enough to tie up Krishna. And all the rope in the universe can tie up Krishna. How big is Krishna's waist? Baby's waist? Less than a meter. Right? And rope, if any rope, it has to be at least a meter, otherwise you can't even do anything with it. It's not even a rope. It's a rope to have any function. It would have to be at least, 2 meters long. So actually Krishna is unlimited. As he is praised in this song, Ananta. Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu. He is unlimited. It only appears that he is a limited human being. The same was revealed, or Krishna revealed that at various times when he showed his Vishvarupam, his universal form. Vamana Dev also looked very small. He wanted he begged the measure of 3 steps of land from Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj thought, 3 steps of land for you? mean, 3 steps of land for anyone isn't very much, but especially from such a little boy as you, that's not very much. But then Vamana Dev expanded and showed he's not a limited little boy. With one step he covered the lower part of the universe, and with the second step he covered the upper part. Then he said to Balamara, I said, come on, you're telling me I should take more land and 3 steps, but you can't even give me 3 steps. I covered the whole universe in 2 steps. So Krishna is unlimited. The whole, as Mother Yashoda was later to see, the whole universe is within Krishna's mouth. So what if he swallows it? It can easily fit, if it can fit in his mouth, then it can easily fit in his stomach. So rope cannot tie up Krishna. And also Krishna being all powerful, no one can tie him up. Duryodhana had some idea later. Mother Yashoda, she doesn't know anything about Duryodhana. At this stage in Krishna's pastimes, there's no thought even of Duryodhana. That all comes later. As long as he was living in the village, Krishna didn't have too many problems. There are a few demons here and there. But when he went to the city, he got so many problems. You see, better stay in the village. When he went to the city, then there was Duryodhana and politics and so many things. He had to keep commuting between Dwaraka and Hastinapur. All his, so many problems. As long as he was in Vrindavan, life was very simple. So better stay in the village. Of course, you're already city dwellers here in this great metropolis with all the traffic going past 24 hours a day. So, Duryodhana, when Krishna came to sue for peace, Krishna came as the messenger of the Pandavas and said, hey, listen, Duryodhana, don't fight. It's not a good idea. If you fight, you're going to get smashed. It's not a good idea. Take the Pandavas' peace entreaty. But Duryodhana, he thought, well, Krishna came. That's good for us, because Krishna is the life of the Pandavas. We'll capture him and tie him up. And then the Pandavas will be finished, because without Krishna they can't do anything. So Krishna, he knows what's going on. He's in everyone's heart. He's even in Duryodhana's heart. If he wasn't in Duryodhana's heart, then Duryodhana wouldn't be able to live. Duryodhana doesn't accept that, but it's true. Jivanam sarva bhuteshu. Krishna is the life of all that lives, including Duryodhana. Krishna is in the heart of everyone, even Duryodhana. So, knowing that Duryodhana wanted to tie up and capture Krishna, Krishna expanded himself into many forms so Duryodhana could see thousands of Krishnas. And then Krishna said to Duryodhana, so you want to tie me up? How many Krishnas can you tie up? And even if you tie them all up, Krishna can expand himself into many more forms. So the moral of this story is that no one can capture Krishna by tying him up, but he is bhakti badham. He agreed to be tied up by Mother Yashoda because of her pure love for him. If Krishna was playing a game, exhibiting his inconceivable potencies to trick Yashoda Mai, to show that even though she's his mother, little child, the mother is much bigger and stronger, and even though Mother Yashoda is an old woman, well, not very old, we could say early middle age, and she's a little heavy built. You know, cowherd women, the Gopa Jati, they're not little. They're not weak. They're big and strongly built, and she has full breasts, so she can't run very fast. But still, she was able to capture Krishna. Because no one can capture Krishna. But she was able to capture him. Because Krishna is playing the leela of being a little boy. But just like the child may play the game, especially when the mother wants to punish the baby, he may slap her or fight with her like this, or wriggle or scream. So Krishna, he wanted to show Yashoda that, see, you can't tie me up. And she brought one rope, then another rope, and all the ropes in the house. But somehow she couldn't tie up Krishna. All the other gopis here means at that time there was no Radha, Vishakha, Lalita. I mean, they were there, but not in this leela. That means all the gopis of the same age as Mother Yashoda, they were all laughing to see the fun. Oh, I see Yashoda wants to tie up her naughty boy, but she can't tie him up. Yashoda was also laughing. She was bewildered, what's going on? And she became frustrated that, I have to punish this boy, he's so bad, I have to punish him. That's a strange mood, isn't it? Because the mother is naturally very loving to the child, especially when they're young, very young like that. Is it? Does your mother love you? No. She doesn't know English. Maybe Krishna was thinking like that. What happened to my mother? She's become so cruel. She wants to tie me up. She's feeding me with her breast milk and singing and smiling at me. Now she's become so angry. She wants to tie me up. So Krishna showed, you can't tie me up. He exhibited his potency so she couldn't tie him up, but she was becoming frustrated. And she might have started to think, well, maybe Krishna's got some mystic power, maybe he's some great demigod or yogi. And Krishna didn't want Yashoda to think like that. Yashoda, so that her Shuddha Vatsalya Bhav, her pure mood of parental love, was not compromised by thinking of Krishna as being anything else but her darling child dependent upon her. Krishna agreed to be tied up. Oh, first of all, he made this pastime by which she couldn't tie him, but then eventually he agreed to be tied up. So, this bhakti bandham is deep import, that we cannot conquer Krishna, but he is conquerable. And even you and I can conquer Krishna. Yashoda has conquered Krishna, but you and I can do so also. That is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this as a very important verse. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rai Ramananda, what is the goal of life and how to attain it? Sadhya Sadhana Tattva. Ramananda Rai, he offered so many different propositions. You follow Varnashram, you do karma, you do nishkam karma, so many propositions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept it. He said, no, 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 no. Whatever he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. But then, when Ramananda Rai quoted this verse from Bhagavatam about how to conquer Krishna, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, this is very good. I accept this. Eho hoy. So the verse is as follows. Jnane prayasam utapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam sthane sthita shudhikitang tanuvang manobhya ye prayasha jitachitopi apitai strilokyam. So in the last line you hear the word jitachito. It's actually ajita. Jita. Krishna, who is ajit, he's unconquered, becomes conquered by this process, that one should give up the endeavor to understand Krishna by one's own puny intelligence. One should stop thinking that I can understand everything about everything and just become humble. Become a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means one should become humble and not think that I can capture Krishna by my knowledge. I will go to university. I will do a PhD on Krishna. I will become the authority, the expert. And everything about Krishna, I'll write in one book and put it in a box, lock it up, finished. And now I know everything about Krishna. One should give up this foolish mentality and become humble. Namanta eva. And one should live how hearing from devotees about Krishna. You can't, not with the spirit, I will learn, I'll become an expert, I'll become famous, I'll know everything about Krishna. But just hearing humbly about Krishna from pure devotees. Whatever situation we're in, it's not that you have to run off to the forest or take sannyas. Whatever situation we're in, we can remain in that situation. But we should go on hearing about Krishna and dedicate ourselves to Him. Dedicate ourselves. Our body, our mind, our words, dedicate everything to Krishna. And by this endeavor, Krishna, who cannot be conquered by Duryodhana, by Indra, by Shiva, by Brahma, by any material means, Krishna cannot be conquered by anyone in all the three worlds, or even all the three worlds combined, cannot overcome Krishna by any physical means, by any material means, but by this method which invokes one's love of Krishna, one can conquer Krishna. So one can capture Krishna in one's heart by loving Him. And that possibility is there for everyone. Mother Yashoda is the exemplar or the ideal. She has caught Krishna by her pure love for Him. So, Satyavrata Muni is describing the scene that Krishna saw that this naughty child, a very, very mischievous child, causing so many problems. Mothers, they have mischievous children. Oh, my child is so naughty. But then if it's so much trouble for me. But then if we were to propose, so shall we take your child away and then you don't have to see your child anymore? No. The child causes so much problem to the mother, and she's feeling it's troublesome for me. But actually that trouble is love. Nowadays it's hum do hamare do, or hum do hamare ek. Don't have many children. But traditionally, normally, women have many children. It's a normal thing to have many children. Mother Yashoda didn't have many children. She only had a child later in life. But it's normal that people have many children. And though it's troublesome, but that is pleasure for the parents to see the children, to watch them grow up, and to take the trouble. Nowadays people don't like to take trouble. Everything should be easy. Instant noodles. Don't cook idlis. And if you cook idlis, you have to grind it in the mixie. So, and then you don't get any exercise because everything is done by machine, so you have to buy some machine for doing exercise also. Although previously the women would, making idli means you grind it by hand. There's so much work to do by hand. Mother Yashoda doesn't go to the gym. Now in Vrindavan, they probably got a gym. They're building, already built some shopping mall. You can get instant food and instant this, instant that, and then diabetes and everything else. Mother Yashoda doesn't have diabetes. Krishna doesn't have diabetes, even though he eats lots of sweets. Krishna's diet is pretty unhealthy for the modern man. You see, if you go to Nathdwara especially, you can see what an unhealthy diet Krishna eats. This makhan misri, that's for breakfast, for even before breakfast, just a little snack. And what Krishna eats before he... You've heard that song, Bhoga Arati, Shukta Shakadi Bhaji Nalita Kushmanda Dali Dalna Dugda Tumbi Dadi Mocha Kanda. Krishna eats so many items. How can he digest? And that's only for breakfast. Then he goes out and takes a tiffin with him also. He eats lots of dahi, yogurt and butter and ghee. No dalda in Vrindavan. Only pure cow's ghee in Vrindavan means pure, best ghee. The Krishna can digest because he's not a lazy person. He's out all, he's a young boy. He's out behind the cows. Of course, at this age, Balagopal, at this Damodar Leela, he's very young. So he's too young to be taking out the cows. But he's a healthy young boy. Once in Vrindavan, in ISKCON, in Vrindavan, the cooks, they wanted to cook a big plate of bhog for Krishna every day. And the temple manager said, no, it costs too much money. So then they asked Srila Prabhupada, that how much should we cook for Krishna? And Prabhupada said, you should feed Krishna like a healthy young boy. And then Prabhupada, he gave exactly, there should be at least 12 puris, and so many items, so many sabjis, and so many sweets. Krishna eats a lot, and he doesn't get unhealthy. He's a healthy young boy. And Mother Yashoda, she's very healthy. I don't know how I got on that topic. Anyway, Mother Yashoda is captured Krishna. And Krishna is crying with great fear in his eyes. And Mother Yashoda, yes, she wanted to punish Krishna. Why should... Oh, they left. Where did they go? They went to find their parents who don't love them. I think their parents love them. But... So, Mother Yashoda, why did the parents punish the children? If they love them, why do they punish them? Because they love them. If they don't punish them, then how will they grow? How will they become adults? If you don't punish them, then they grow up, but their mentality remains like that of a child. A young child is actually very selfish. As soon as they want something, they scream, "Ah!" But if you do that when you're 20 years old, people think something wrong with him. When you grow up, you gradually become aware there are other people apart from myself. My need is not depressing. It's not that at 20 years old, I'm hungry, mother, come and feed. Woo! There's regulated times for taking meals. Or in the modern age, you just go out to the pizzeria or phone up the pizza company. Hey, send me over a pizza. But in the childhood, it's actually very selfish and egoistic. And as you grow up, you're supposed to become less egoistic and not just think about your own need and what I think is right. And one should become aware of others. But the child is very egoistic and just wants to do what he thinks. Whatever he thinks is right is right. This is baby philosophy. What I think is right, that is right. If anyone thinks like that, then they're psychologically at the age of a baby. They haven't grown up. Of course, what Krishna thinks is right because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His case is different. But in the childhood pastime, he's playing like an ordinary boy. So the parent's duty is to train the child so that he grows up to be a mature person, a functional human being. You can't function properly in society if one has the childish attitude of just thinking, well, everyone should do what I think must be right because I'm me and I'm the best. But there should be consideration of others' opinions and feelings and needs. So the parents have to train the children like this. In the early life, they're very egoistic. In Bengali, they say, I don't know about in other languages, in Bengali they say, if you see a grown person and they're very well behaved, and then you may say, well, his teachers, they made him a man. That means they, in English we say, he was raised by his parents. But in Bengali they'll say, onake manush koreche, they made him a man. So the idea is that the parents make the, or it may be the teacher or whatever, the child is made a man. So it doesn't just mean the body growing up, but the mentality has to change. You can't let children all their life do whatever they like. Srila Prabhupada told a story that there was one boy in childhood, his parents died, and he was raised by one aunt who thought that loving him meant to indulge him. Let him do whatever he likes. Let him just do what he likes. So maybe that's all right for a tiny baby, but not for an old, as they get older, they have to be trained. Don't do this. You should do this. You should not do this. They should be trained. If you don't train them and they do whatever they like, well, what happened with this boy? His aunt just said, whatever you want to do, it's okay. So he got into bad company and he became a thief and a dacoit, and eventually he was caught, and for all his crimes he was sentenced to death, and there was to be a public execution, being hung to death publicly. So as he was standing in public about to have his head put in the noose, can you all understand this? Then he said, well, any last words you'd like to say? And he saw his aunt standing in the crowd crying that my nephew who I raised is about to be executed. So he said, bring my aunt up here. So she came. He said, he was tied up. Says, bring her very close. I want her to put, he said to her, put your ear right next to my mouth. So she did, and he bit it off. He said, and in the other ear, he said, I did that to you because it's your fault that I'm here today. Because you didn't train me what to do and what not to do. Therefore, I did the wrong thing, and now I'm being executed, about to be executed. So the parents' duty is to train the children. So the parents punish the children because they love them, because they want them to be good. But the young baby won't understand this. They think, why is my mother angry? Why is she punishing me? So Yashoda was angry. Of course, Yashoda's not a big philosopher. She doesn't think, I have to punish Krishna so that he'll become a good boy. It's just natural for her, without her even thinking about why, that when he behaves wrongly, that she has to punish him. And tying him up, well, that seems that's a good way, what to do. She brought the stick to beat him, but then he's crying, so she just ties him up instead. And then this way, keep him out of trouble, because She can't watch him all the time. She's busy. She has to oversee the whole household, and the milk is on the stove. She has to watch the milk. She has so many household duties. So tie him up, then he can't get into trouble. But actually he did get into trouble, because he dragged the mortar, which he thought was too heavy, that Krishna is tied to the mortar, but it was more like the mortar was tied to Krishna. So Krishna, eventually he dragged the mortar, and it got stuck between the two trees, and Krishna pulled the two trees down. So the rope must have been very strong, because you would think in such a circumstance the rope would break, but instead the trees broke. Must have been something to do with Krishna's achintya shakti. Otherwise the rope would break, isn't it? Not the trees. So, Mother Yashoda has come to punish Krishna. Krishna is crying and rubbing his eyes. And now Sanatan Goswami, who comments, says that, well, Krishna is rubbing his eyes. Either he's actually very afraid of being beaten, or maybe he's a clever young boy, he's faking it. He's pretending to be afraid because he doesn't really feel that afraid, but he thinks, if I pretend that I'm very afraid of being beaten, then I'll escape a beating. So he's a very chalo kind of child, or he's cunning child, Krishna. So this vision Satyavrata Muni is presenting in the Bhagavatam also, how devotees, they like to remember Krishna like this. Here we have the picture of Yashoda and Krishna, Madonna and child. This is actually based on a very famous painting of Mary and Jesus. This is a copy, it's a Krishnaized version of one of the world's most famous pictures. Those who are Westerners can recognize this, that it's modeled on the most famous picture in the world is probably that Mona Lisa. And there's very famous the picture of the angry old God in the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And this is, maybe number two famous picture in the world, what this one is modeled on. In a more peaceful mood, Krishna with Yashoda. But this isn't a very peaceful leela. It's an all-action leela with Krishna stealing the butter, running away, Yashoda catching him crying, her being angry, trying to tie him up, getting the rope. Here, bring more rope, calling all the way, bring more rope, bring more. She's holding Krishna, and Krishna's trying to get away, and she's crying, and she's tying him up, and she goes away, and whew, now I can have some peace. I tied up Krishna, he's such a naughty boy. Actually, Krishna, they don't even call Kana. He says, such a bad boy. She's going back to her churning the butter or whatever. She says, oh, boy, he's becoming so naughty. As he's getting older, he's becoming such a handful to look after. But in the meantime, Krishna's dragging away the grinding mortar, and Yashoda's churning the butter, singing about Krishna. All of a sudden, it's like an explosion. What happened? The whole area is shaking. Oh no, what happened? Another demon came to attack Krishna. What happened? Where's Krishna? I left him here with the tied to the mortar. Now the mortar's not here. What happened? Just like the Trinavarta demon took Krishna away by a whirlwind. Now Krishna's gone. Where did he go? And then she looks in the courtyard and sees the two trees have fallen down. So it's an action-packed leela. This is a peaceful moment. Krishna caught in a peaceful moment, sitting Madonna and child. That's the name of that painting by Raphael, I think it is. I'm not sure. So, Satyavrata Muni is giving us the picture of this pastime of Krishna rubbing his eyes in fear, and Mother Yashoda very angry. She sees Krishna crying, but she's still very angry. You're just crying, you think you can get away with it just by crying? You're such a naughty boy. You see, that butter, you see, I make the butter with such trouble for you only, and keep it stored nicely so the monkeys can't get it, but you get up and smash the pots and distribute the butter to the monkeys. I made it for you, and you're just making a big mess everywhere, and then you run away because you know you're naughty. See, run away means that you know that you're naughty. Otherwise, why should you run away? And I have to run after you. And she's so angry, and Krishna's crying. You're crying. Why should you? You're a naughty boy. You should be punished. She's very angry with Krishna. All the mothers are getting angry with their children sometimes. Tie him up. Don't beat him. Don't beat your children. Not good to beat them. So, the tears were coming from his eyes. His eyes expressed his great fear. And he's sobbing like Muhushwasa. And again and again, breathing very deeply, like, crying like this. This is, I'm enacting it dramatically. It's what's described here. Muhushwasa kampa chire kanka kanta. It literally says that his throat, which is marked by three lines, Trireka Anka Kanta, is quivering, kampa, kampit, hilten. So translators have said that it actually means his pearl necklace is trembling, or otherwise his throat is going up and down like this. So Krishna is tied to the wooden grinding mortar. So this symbolizes how he is tied. He's tied. It symbolizes the whole quality of his. Symbolizes, not exactly symbolize, but it exemplifies the whole quality of how Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotees. Bhakta Vashyata. Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsala, which means that he's in the position of the controller, and he is very kind to, Krishna is kind to his devotees. Therefore he's known as Bhakta Vatsala. He has the quality of Bhakta Vatsalya. But in this pastime is shown the contradictory quality of Bhakta Vashyata. He comes under the control of his devotees. Vatsalya is a kindness that is exhibited by superiors to inferiors. Therefore, Mother Yashoda, she is the exemplar of Vatsalya Rati, parental love for Krishna. She's in the position of being superior to him. So to enable Yashoda to have Vatsalya for Krishna, who himself is Bhakta Vatsala, he himself shows love to his devotees, favors them. But Yashoda, she is in the position of controlling Krishna. Krishna accepts the position of being controlled. This is wonderful. Krishna is Ishvara. He's described as Ishvara. Namam Ishvaram. Satchidananda Rupa. He's the transcendental, supreme controller. His form is eternity, knowledge and bliss. But he comes under the control of his devotees. This is exemplified by Yashoda Mai's tying him up. So in the same way, all devotees, they tie up Krishna. They capture Krishna in his heart. But what kind of devotee? Not any devotee. It's not just that you come in the temple once and you offer a little dhoop and deep and then Krishna comes and does whatever you say. But Krishna comes under the control of those devotees who have no motive other than to love him and serve him. He doesn't become subservient to anyone with any bad motive. But those whose only motive is to love Krishna, Krishna becomes tied up not exactly by the rope, but by the love. Ropes cannot tie Krishna. But the love of his devotees captures him, so that he is obliged to Mother Yashoda, that she wants to tie him up, and he becomes obliged to become tied up, although no rope can tie him up. But it's the ropes of love by which he's tied up. Or in another way, it can be seen similarly, Krishna ties up his devotees with his love for them. So Krishna loves his devotees, they're tied to him. They cannot leave. Tied up, Krishna is tied up to the grinding mortar so that he cannot go away. So devotees, they are tied to Krishna. They cannot leave Krishna. These are pure devotees. They cannot forget Krishna. This is the perfection of bhakti, that one cannot think of anything but Krishna. Just like that prayer is there, Radharani's prayer, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that Aslishava Padritam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Maramahatam Kurotuva Yatatata Bhavidatu Lampato Mad Prana Natas Natu Eva Napara. She says that you may embrace me, or trample me under your feet, or make me broken hearted by not showing yourself to me. Whatever you do, however you do it, in whatever situation, whatever it may be, even though you are a lumpata, that I want to love you, but you don't care to love me, you just wander off with so many girls. But you are always the Lord of my life, under any condition. No one else. Whoever you may be, whatever you may be, whatever you do to me, there's no way I can entertain anyone else as being the Lord of my life but you, Krishna. So in this way, the gopis, they are tied to Krishna. Krishna, he was apparently very cruel to them, that they left everything. They left their homes in the middle of the night. Even today in modern India, if a woman leaves her home in the middle of the night, and in the West, not a big thing. But in India, if they leave in the middle of the night to go with some other man, it's a big thing. Maybe even in the West, you never know. So they left their homes in the middle of the night and they came to Krishna, and Krishna danced them a little while, then he just left. Just left them, and they made them broken hearted. So in so many ways Krishna mistreated them. So one time they were discussing among themselves and they said, I think we should stop thinking about Krishna and talking about Krishna. We'll just forget him because he gives us so many troubles. He doesn't even care for us. So they made an agreement. Okay, from now on, we'll stop thinking about Krishna, we'll stop talking about Krishna, we won't have anything more to do with Krishna. Finished. No more Krishna. So they weren't able to do it. They couldn't stop thinking about Krishna even for a moment. They could not stop talking about Krishna. They're tied to Krishna. Just like Krishna is tied to the grinding mortar. They're tied, their love for Krishna, they're captive. Just like Krishna was captive to the grinding mortar, they're tied up. Krishna has caught, has captured their heart. And they can never forget Krishna. This is the perfect. So this tying, Krishna is tied up. This symbolizes the perfection of bhakti. That even if you want to forget Krishna, and of course the devotee doesn't want to forget Krishna, but even if they think that they want to forget Krishna, they cannot forget Krishna. And Bhagavatam describes how this rope was always 2 fingers too short. Just too short. 2 fingers too short means measured by the width of the finger, not the length. So just too short. Somehow or other, it's just too short. You can't tie it. You're trying. It's just a little bit too short. However many ropes, you tie one rope to another. Somehow or other, it's too short. It's just too short, and then you're trying to pull it together, but Krishna, you know, to like squeeze his stomach too much. She wants to tie him up to capture him, not to kill him. So it's always too short. This is described in Bhagavatam. And then she became fatigued, and the hair, in her hair, she always nicely decorated with flowers in her hair. Until recently in South India, every woman used to put flower in her. Now, I shouldn't look at the women, but I'm just having. But now they're becoming modern, huh? They don't do that. And Mother Yashoda, it's described, Mother Yashoda, she would churn the butter. Of course, no one knows how to churn butter. Do you know how to churn? You don't even know. It's very easy, actually. Easy means it's hard work, but you just go like this. So, and then the bangles would make the sound, but now they don't wear bangles either. They used to have gold bangles, then it became plastic bangles, and now it's no bangles. Because they've become modern. But Mother Yashoda is very nicely decorated with bangles and earrings and flowers in her hair. Decorates herself very nicely every day. But by chasing Krishna and the work of trying to bind him, she became flustered and the flowers were falling down. Her hair became disordered. So this vision of Krishna and Yashoda is provided by Satyavrata Muni. She was perspiring from the hard work of capturing Krishna. She is becoming very tired, and then Krishna agreed. All right, I'll let her tie me up. He removed his yoga maya shakti. So, in this regard, Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam recites these verses, which I'll read here. Evaṁ sandāshita hyaṅga harinā bhṛtya vasyata svavaśenāpi krishnena yasyedaṁ śeśvaraṁ vaśe. So, Shukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Parikshit, that this entire universe, with its great demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, it's all under the control of Krishna. Yet, he who is the Supreme Lord has this transcendental quality that he comes under the control of his devotees. The entire universe is under Krishna's control, but he comes under the control of his devotees, and this was particularly exhibited in this pastime. And then Shukadev goes on to glorify Yashoda. Nemaṁ varincho nabhavo nashyar apyanga saṁśraya. prasadam lebhire gopi yattat prapa vimuktidat. He said that this mercy of Krishna is not very good to speak about the mercy of Krishna publicly, because it's a very emotional topic. Actually, it's good. We should only speak about the mercy of Krishna, but it is a very emotional topic. So, Shukadev Goswami, he said that the mercy that was shown to Mother, he said that Krishna, he is the Lord of all the universe. Shiva, Brahma, Indra, daily all these demigods would come to Vrindavan to pray to Krishna. But Krishna didn't give them much attention. Demigods, all right, okay, very good. He didn't give them much attention. So they didn't get the mercy. They're getting mercy from Krishna. The devotees of Krishna, they also get mercy from Krishna. But they could not even dream of. They couldn't even imagine. They wouldn't think it appropriate for themselves in the slightest way to get the benediction that Yashoda got of being able to tie Krishna. The demigods, Brahma, he creates the whole universe. He's born from Krishna's, from the lotus flower that comes from Krishna. But he didn't get that mercy. Lord Shiva didn't get that mercy, there's no question. And even Lakshmi Devi, who is sheltered on Krishna's chest, she eternally resides on Krishna's chest, as the Sri Vatsa mark. But they did not get the same mercy that Yashoda got by being able to tie up Krishna. Who Krishna is the giver of liberation. People pray to Krishna for mukti. But he himself has become tied up by Yashoda. What a mercy is that? That he has allowed himself to be tied up by Yashoda. So this is described by Shukadev in his ecstasy of describing that all he begins the Bhagavatam. Janmadhyasya yatonvayadhyatarathaschate svabhignaswarat, describing the qualities of Krishna, among which is he's completely independent. He's not dependent on anyone. He's completely in control. The whole universe, all the universes come from him. They're maintained by him. They're destroyed by him. He's beyond everything in this world, but he's tied up. He's not independent. He is constitutionally independent, but this is the great quality of Krishna that this Damodar Leela demonstrates. How he becomes subordinate to his devotees, so much so that he becomes tied up as if he's an ordinary child who's subordinate to his mother. Who's subordinate means he is not just that the mother's not only tying up, but she's feeding him, she's clothing him, she's bathing him. He's totally dependent on his mother. Mother Yashoda thinks, if I don't feed Krishna, he'll starve. I have to feed. He must be hungry. Even after she's fed him, even while she's feeding him, she's thinking about what to cook next for Krishna. That he must be, even though he had such a breakfast that would give any normal person indigestion for 2 weeks. So many items, so much. She keeps on feeding Krishna more and more. She's thinking he must be hungry. He's a young boy, he should eat more. Otherwise he won't grow up to be strong. He won't be able to look after the cows nicely. She never thought he was going to leave Vrindavan. So she's feeding, but immediately she's thinking, oh, now Krishna's, he's gone out to looking after the cow. Oh, I have to cook something more for Krishna. So she's thinking Krishna is dependent upon me, and actually Krishna is. So Yeah. Bhagavan Gopika Sutta, Shukadev Goswami says these words, juxtaposes these words. He is Bhagavan, yet he is also Gopika Sutta. He is the son of Mother Yashoda. This is a great paradox. How he's the supreme controller, but he's become the son of Yashoda, the son of a cowherd woman, and thus readily available for his devotees. If he was born as the son of a king, you can't approach him very easily. The king's son has to be protected. There are so many political considerations, and the very fact that he's a king's son means that you just can't walk up to the palace and see the king's son. He'll remain in the palace. He'll only come out on certain occasions, dressed up very nicely, very formal. Only on formal occasions can the citizens see the young child of the king. But he's born in the cowherd community, in the village, and in the village there's no such protocol. The children from different families, they play with each other. Krishna will capture the calf's tail. The tail of the calf will run off, and Krishna will run off with his young cowherd boyfriends, and they'll run into some other house. And then in the other house, the mother in the house will give him something to eat. And if they want, they'll all just come. They don't need an invitation. They don't have to see any secretary. Please let us come and visit the palace. No such thing. They just walk in, and they may complain to Yashoda, you see, your boy is very naughty, he's always stealing our butter. He's stealing your butter? How is he stealing your butter? I'm giving him good butter. No, he's stealing our butter. So they'll walk in and very easily coming and going. Krishna, without thinking, he'll just go to someone else's house and eat something there, or play with the children there, and the children from the other house will come, and all the local cowherd women will come. It's very easy coming and going, very natural relationships, no protocol. So Krishna makes himself very easily available to his devotees by taking birth in the family of cowherders. If he's taking birth in the family of a king, it's not so easy to see him. Even in a Brahmin family, not so easy. There are restrictions. See, on different castes, they can't come. Only Brahmin. The Brahmins live in their own area, and they're a bit snobbish, isn't it? Brahmins traditionally. So not that everyone can come, because the idea is that, well, other people, they're not so clean or pure. So Brahmins don't really like others coming very much. And Shudras, no one goes to see them. And Krishna is not born in a Shudra family. He's born in Brahmin. Krishna, his different avatars in Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya family. We don't hear him being born in any Shudra family. So in the Vaishya family, especially the cowherd, Vaishya, there are different Vaishyas. They're rich merchants. They also may not be very accessible. But in the cowherd family, very accessible. Everyone can come to see him. So he's become very accessible to his devotees. Although he's not accessible to those who are not his devotees. So another point that's shown by this Leela is that Krishna, he's also subservient to his devotees, because Narad Muni, when he cursed Manigriva and Nalakuvara, he mitigated their curse or turned the curse into a blessing by saying that, all right, you have to become trees. I already cursed you to become trees. But you become trees in the courtyard of Nanda. You go to that place where eventually Nanda Maharaj will come there, and then Krishna will come and personally deliver you. So to fulfill the words of Narada, Krishna was obliged to enact this Damodara Leela. Of course, it's a repeating Leela, and Narada knows that. But Narada, in the form of a curse, he benedicted Nalakuvara and Manigriva by saying, you go there and Krishna, eventually Krishna will come and he will deliver you. So Krishna was obliged to do that. It's another way in which he is under the control of his devotees, that he was obliged to do that. Almost finished. So in this way, Krishna showed that he is under the control of his devotees. Which devotees? This kind of mercy, even in Dwaraka, Krishna performs his pastimes in Dwaraka. There's no such thing like this. There's no tying up Krishna in Dwaraka. So those who are attached to knowing he is Bhagawan Gopika Sutta, but those who are attached to knowing him as Bhagawan, who are very much concerned with his majesty and his opulence, they cannot get such mercy. Only those who know him as Gopika Sutta, those who know him as Yashoda Nandana, Yashomati Nandana, they can get the kind of mercy that Yashoda had. But those who are attached to his opulence, they are, by that very factor, they must always be at some distance from Krishna. They cannot come so close. Krishna's real mercy is in giving himself to his devotees. Krishna can give money, power, fame. Krishna, being Bhagawan, he is Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriyaha Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva Shannang Bhagaitingina. Krishna has all wealth, all power, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge and all renunciation. Krishna can give you more money than you can use. You can't even imagine that. What if you were given 1,000 crores every day? What would you do with it all? You can't imagine how to use even 1,000 crores. But every day, if you had so much money, what would you do? You give it all to the devotee. We know how to use it. But for sense gratification, how much sense gratification can you have? Krishna can give you all the money. He can give you unlimited wealth. Krishna can give you all power, even without going to the gym and doing exercise. You can get a very strong body. Or you can become very powerful, head of a nation. Or you can become very famous by Krishna's mercy. Or very beautiful by Krishna's mercy. You can become very knowledgeable. Or some people want to be renounced. They can become very renounced by Krishna's mercy. But Krishna can give all of these things, but his real mercy is not to give us money, power, beauty, fame. But when he gives himself to us, that is his full mercy. But he doesn't give himself to us in this. Only in Vrindavan does he give himself to us so fully. Even in Dwaraka, there's some distance, some hesitation in dealings with Krishna, some protocol. But in Vrindavan Yashoda, she doesn't think Bhagawan. She doesn't think like that at all. She thinks he's my boy. If I don't train him properly, how will he grow up to be a good boy? He's such a naughty boy, I have to punish him. So Krishna, he gives his full mercy, means he gives himself to his devotees who fully give themselves to him. Even not thinking he's most powerful, therefore I have to do what he says, otherwise he'll punish me. And not thinking he's most wealthy, so if I worship him, he'll make me rich. Those who don't have any consideration, but they're simply attracted to him out of love to such devotees, Krishna gives himself. So those who are attracted to impersonalism, what can they know about this? Those who talk about becoming one with the impersonal Brahman, what can they know about this? They have no entrance. They're a long, long, long way away from Vrindavan. Even if they sit in Vrindavan, they're nowhere near Vrindavan. So, this word used here, premataha, excellence of prema, shatavriti, hundreds and thousands of times. No, wait a minute, we're in the wrong verse here. Yeah. The pages are in the wrong order. Yeah. All right, okay. Hare Krishna, Sri Damodara ki jai.